On today's episode, we're going to explore the sounds of summer. Grasshoppers, crickets, cicadas, and more. How do they make calls, and why are they so loud? Find out this and more on today's episode of Naturally Florida.
Welcome to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. I'm Lara Milligan.
And I'm Shannon Carnevale.
This podcast is brought to you by UF IFAS Extension in Polk and Pinellas counties.
Oh my gosh, Lara. So all those sounds that we're listening to right now and getting the script for this when you sent it over, I am so pumped for this episode. Like, I can't even tell you how excited I am for this, because ever since we came up with Naturally Florida and doing a podcast, I have been just waiting for all the episodes that we can play all the sounds that people hear and explain what they are.
Yes. And I know it worked out really well when we did our owl episode, which was very well received from the feedback we've gotten. So
yes,
we're going to go a whole new level. We haven't really done too much on insects yet, other than fireflies.
Right.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Well, neither of us are really insect experts, so we had to do a good bit of reading before we were ready for this episode.
Yes. And again, you know, on these episodes, we don't go super in depth anyway. So we got the big picture concepts for you guys. And I think either way, it's going to be fun, exciting, and hopefully you'll be able to identify some of these insects, at least like a broad category, by the time we're done with this episode.
Cool. Well, let's get started. So we're going to talk about grasshoppers, katydids, crickets, and cicadas today. And I thought it'd be a great place for us to start, Lara, if we talk about why we have them in our environment and what their role is.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we overlook that very simple but very important concept. And when it comes to these insects, they're a critical part of the food chain in that they serve as herbivores. So they're helping to keep vegetation under control. And they are also a critical food source for a lot of species, especially our birds.
Yeah. And one of the species that we're going to talk about today, occasionally and not necessarily in Florida, but in other parts of the country, has huge emergences like every decade or 17 years, much like Brood X, which you might have seen all over the national news in 2021. So when that happens, wildlife of all kinds are going after this massive emergence of what they see as a protein source. On that note, people are also eating things like crickets and cicadas for a protein source. But thankfully, that is not the subject of today's episode.
Yes, I have heard that insects will be our protein source in the future, for sure. So, maybe if Shannon, and maybe if Naturally Florida's around in 20 more years. Well, anyway, Okay,
but before we get started, we should probably define what we're talking about here. And grasshoppers, katydids, crickets, and cicadas are all insects. Insects have some very common features that define them. They are the only class of arthropod that has developed wings. So they might have no wings at all, but as a group, that is a trait that they usually have. They can have one pair or two pair. They also have three main sections of their body, the head, the thorax, and the abdomen. They only have six legs, which are three pairs of legs, and they have a pair of antennae. So if you see all of those things on a little insect-like critter you're looking at, it is probably a true insect. So now that we know we're talking about insects, let's talk about the singing insects that I'm so excited we're going to discuss today.
Yes. Okay. And we're going to divide up the grasshoppers, katydids, and crickets from our cicadas, just because taxonomically speaking, that's how they're separated. So we're going to start in Ornithoptera order. Ortho, if you think of braces, just means straight. So these insects have straight wings. So we're going to tell you some ways to tell grasshoppers apart from katydids, apart from crickets. First thing we're going to look at, well, not look at, listen to from Shannon and I, and you all are going to look at, is their antenna. The key thing with grasshoppers is they have short, thick antenna compared to katydids and crickets, which are very long. And you can't really tell crickets apart from katydids just by looking at their antenna, but that at least separates those two out. Mm-hmm. When we think about when we are likely to hear these insects or when they're most active, grasshoppers tend to be most active during the daytime. Katydids and crickets, again, tend to be nocturnal, doesn't apply to all species, but generally speaking, that's when you're going to hear them or see them. In terms of habitat, where you're going to find these, grasshoppers, we probably often think of grasshoppers being on some type of vegetation. And of course, different species have different preferences, but generally weedy, grassy areas, bare or disturbed soils, or open sandy areas are commonly where you're going to see or hear grasshoppers. As for katydids and crickets, these can be found in a wider variety of habitats, forested areas, agricultural lands. So habitat alone can't really be helpful differentiating between for katydids and crickets. However, crickets do tend to like environments with a little bit of moisture. So that could be helpful for identification. I will say, for today's purposes, you have to have katydids and or crickets in hand, really, to tell them apart, if, whether it's a katydid or a cricket. So we're not going to get into that today, but hopefully by listening to the sounds later, that will be helpful.
Yeah, just like a lot of the other species we've talked about on the podcast, you often need to have these critters in hand and have some kind of experience to really tell them apart. We're just giving you an introductory level. But there are some you can really easily recognize. So we have the lubber grasshopper, which everyone thinks of, right, Lara?
Yes, I hear about those a lot.
Yeah, and they're very recognizable. So we'll include a link to a fact sheet about lubber grasshoppers so you can see if they're the grasshopper that you often see in your yard or park. And then I love to bring up the giant katydid. So this is a very large leaf-looking insect. It's bright green. It makes a cute little noise. And they are attracted to light at night all across Florida. So you might be outside at a barbecue or something and see a giant leaf-looking bug. That is a katydid. Now, not all katydids look like leaves, but the ones that do are very charismatic, I think.
Yes. So if you see a large leaf that's moving oddly, or as Shannon mentioned when we were off recording, that is in an odd place, then we might be looking at a katydid and perhaps a giant katydid. But there's a whole nother group that we haven't talked about yet, and that is our cicadas.
Yes, I love them. Okay, so we're going to talk about cicadas in the whole, and then we're going to move on to their songs and different calls, right, Lara?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about cicadas. We have 19 different species of cicada in Florida. They range from as small as 7 millimeters or smaller to as large as 57 millimeters. And so if you need some grounding on what 7 millimeters is, we're talking about the size of a pencil eraser. Really, really super tiny. And before we were looking things up for this episode, I didn't know we had cicadas that small, but they can be pretty little. The reason we separated cicadas away from crickets, katydids, and grasshoppers was because cicadas are in a different order. So we were talking about how crickets, katydids, and grasshoppers are in the order Orthoptera. Cicadas are in the order Hemiptera.
Hemiptera. That's how I say it anyway.
Or in words we can actually pronounce properly, they're in true bugs. And the true bugs are distinguished by mouth parts that are modified for piercing and sucking. And with cicadas, this is generally plant material. Something else we need to get out of the way with cicadas is Florida does not have the periodical cicadas. The periodical cicadas are the ones that make the national news seemingly every couple of years. But the periodical cicada that made the news most recently was in 2021. That was the Brood X cicada, which was a species of a 17-year cycle cicada. So they spend 17 years underground before they come up in massive quantities. The reason that they do that is something called predatory satiation. And essentially what they're doing is by all coming out at the same time, they can overwhelm the ecosystem in some way. And the predators can all eat all the protein sources they want, like we discussed earlier. And there will still be enough of them left over to mate and keep their reproductive cycle going. Personally, I'm kind of glad we don't have those in Florida because we don't have the really like crazy scenes of cicadas crawling on every inch of everything. In Florida, our cicadas are annual. And so some of all of the species come out every single year after spending around 3 or 4 years underground. Cicadas are kind of hard to study though, right, Lara?
Yeah, from everything that I read, it's, you know, this is kind of our best guess at this point. It's hard to keep cicadas in captivity, and anything that lives underground for that many years, you know, in general is going to be hard to study. So we're still honestly learning a lot about the life cycle of cicadas, especially the ones here in Florida. So although they emerge, what we're saying, every 3 to 4 years, again, we have 19 species. So there's going to be some, you know, every year making their appearance known. And I would say that you're probably more likely to see the exoskeleton of the cicada than the actual cicada itself. Is that been your experience?
Yeah, I see them all over my yard. I'll have them up on trees, on our patio structures, and I think I've even seen one or two on my dock, but I'm not really sure how they got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and what we're seeing there is what we call the casts of their nymphal. Their nymph is just a stage of the life cycle exoskeleton. And as we've alluded to, the cicadas spend most of their life underground. So when they are coming up, they're coming up to do one job, and that is to mate and make more baby cicadas. So if you do see them, I know I often sadly see a lot of them, you know, their life cycle is pretty short when they're adults, dead on the ground. But that's an easy way to, you know, get really up close and personal with them if you care to do so.
Right. But there's another way that people are most likely to encounter cicadas. And the reason we're here for this podcast episode is if you don't see them dead on the ground and you don't see their casts, I can almost guarantee every person in Florida has heard a cicada sing.
Yes. And not only are we going to talk about cicadas, but the other species that we covered earlier, the grasshoppers, katydids, and crickets. But of course, cicadas get all the fame typically because they're really loud.
So loud.
Like often referred to like the loudest insects in the world. So, and we're going to talk about how that happens. And there's some really fun words that explain all of this. So we're going to start off with our grasshoppers. We don't often think of grasshoppers singing, but they do still make a sound. Their sound is in the form of what we call crepitation, which is just when they fly away with their, remember they have wings, they make this snappy crackling noise. It's kind of hard. I think that's the best way to describe it. And that's when the membranes, they have really large veins in their hind wings. And when they're popped taut, that's what makes the noise. If you think about, I don't know, I was thinking about like those fans that you can like expand. I don't know. What's a good way to, or like an umbrella when you pop it out? Anyway, anything, once you pop it out really loud, really quickly, they're doing that super, super fast, but with their wings.
Yeah. And let's take a second and listen to it. That's why when you're out hiking, and you hear that noise that Lara's talking about, you can see the grasshopper in flight at that point because they have left wherever you have just scared them out of the bush.
Yes. And that's often like, at least I think for Shannon and I who grew up on the coast, whenever we go to the beach, there's a lot that like the dune, remember we mentioned the open sandy area. So we'd often walk on the beach and you'll hear that noise and be like, oh, and then you get to see them because you heard the noise and then you look. The other fun word is, and this is, we're kind of more talking about katydids and crickets that do this. There's something called stridulation, which is,
oh, is
a fancy way of, yeah, it's just a fancy way of saying rubbing one body part against another to make a noise. That's what we call stridulation.
So what's actually happening there is that they have a scraper on the inner side of one wing, and it's kind of like a file with little teeth on the other wing. And when they rub those together, it makes a noise. This is kind of like if you took a pencil and ran it down a comb, it would make a noise. So let's take a minute and listen to it.
Yes. Now, they're not all going to sound exactly like that. There's tons of variations among species and among katydids versus crickets. Some grasshoppers and some cicadas also do this, but that's not really their main sound. For cicadas, they do something called timbal vibration. They have a special membrane under their wing called a timbal, and they are able to vibrate that membrane very, very quickly, which, and their abdomens are kind of hollow, which really escalates the sound that we hear, which is why they're so freaking loud. And only the males have a timbal. So when you're hearing the loud sound, whether you like it or not, that's the males to blame for that sound.
So the cicada that you're most likely to hear in Florida, in Lara and Maya's opinion, is the hieroglyphic cicada. And we're going to listen to him in just a second. But you're going to hear this in the summer during the daytime, sometimes at dusk. It can get louder as the sun starts to go down. They're very, very loud. So just to reemphasize, if you've heard a cicada, it's very, very likely that it was the hieroglyphic cicada. So let's take a listen to that call. I bet that one sounded pretty familiar to you if you've been outside in Florida.
Yeah, and this is like the first one that you'll hear in the year. So this is the one, if you're outside of summer and you're hearing a cicada, this is probably what you're hearing. So kind of in terms of a summary and wrap up for the sounds, and we want you guys to remember this, crickets tend to be musical and typically are going to be heard at night. Katydids, it's really hard to like explain their sounds because they are quite variable, but we kind of summarize it as like a buzzy stutter, if you will. And those, again, tend to be at night, but of course there's exceptions. We have the agile meadow katydid that sings during the day. With cicadas, if you're hearing something that sounds like it's up in a tree and it's really loud and it's continuous, then we're probably hearing a cicada. And these tend to sing, as Shannon mentioned before, during the day and at dusk.
Singing, screaming, however you want to imagine it. There are thousands, if not millions, of cicadas up in the trees in the summer in Florida, just singing their little hearts out.
Yes, I've heard them, like people have literally called in saying their neighbor is using power tools and it's a cicada. So that's like, that's the level we're talking about here.
Super loud. It sounds like the trees are screaming.
Our call to action is not to hate the cicadas because they're so loud. It's that you should learn your calls and get excited because you can say, hey, that's a katydid, or hey, that's a cicada.
Yeah. And let's not forget that they spend most of their life underground, just like in the firefly episode, because fireflies also spend a lot of their time underground. The call to action here is about the same. Try to leave portions of your yard unmown. When we mow grass, we affect the amount of moisture in the ground, and that can really be detrimental to insect species that are underground, like cicadas and fireflies.
Yeah, and along the same lines of lawn care and lawn maintenance is, for our last call to action, to reduce or limit your amount of pesticides and herbicides that we are applying on our landscape. I, again, kind of feel like a broken record with that call to action, but it not only affects the species we talked about today, but many more. So anything we can do to lessen that contribution to pollution and impact to our species is going to be beneficial for the overall ecosystem.
Yeah. So remember your calls to action. Learn your calls so that you can understand the songs you're hearing during the summer. Leave portions of your yard unmown. And if possible, reduce the amount of lawn chemicals you're adding. Don't forget to check our show notes for all of the wonderful resources we're going to provide, including links to places where you can listen to more of these species and hear their calls and learn them. And we hope you have a wonderful summer full of cicada songs, cricket songs, and katydid songs, and occasionally maybe a grasshopper popping off a piece of grass.
And wear your sunscreen.
Thanks for listening to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. Stay updated on new episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Naturally Florida is produced by your hosts, Shannon Carnavalli
and Lara Milligan.
If you have questions or suggestions, submit them online at naturallyfloridapodcast.com. This podcast is brought to you by the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences Extension, an equal opportunity institution. Thank you for listening.